Scripture reading comes from Mark 10:35-45. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do this, whatever we ask you." And he said to them, What is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as the rulers, Lord over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many."
Jesus, in the passage of the gospel according to Mark, teaches the disciples a very important lesson. And the lesson that he lifts up to them is that we are called to walk in this world as a faithful brother or sister of Christ and as a child of God. And that gait, that style of walking, is in fact recognizable. We're saying in gait analysis, think about the way that you walk. Do you stride, swagger, spring, strut, or do you shuffle, waddle, or ramble? A lot of choices, right? Your way of walking, whatever it is unique to you. Your gait is unique to you. I was reading an article this last week that there are two federally funded gait recognition technology projects that are ongoing. These two projects are happening at Georgia Tech in Atlanta. And the one federally funded project is on this gait recognition. And in that, you know that we have come so far in face recognition, how we are able from a distance now through technology to get someone's face, run it through these extensive databases, and literally within minutes get a match if these people are on watch list or are nationally known felons. However, you don't always get a clear picture of the face. Sometimes they're walking away from you or at a side to you. So this project actually is being determined, computer software being designed, so that you can have your walk or gait recognition happening at as much as 500 feet away. Because we are so unique in that walk, they do a comparison, and if you're on one of those lists and have a unique stride, you're going to be identified through this new technology of Homeland Security. The second project that's being funded federally is a medical project. They're also finding and determining that sometimes our gait and the way we walk can signify a tendency towards certain illnesses before we even experience their symptoms. So someone with a potential heart problem or Parkinson's or Huntington's, they can be diagnosed or at least determined even before symptoms begin to happen to us. That's amazing, isn't it? Scientists are bringing a different meaning to the old saying, you can tell a lot about people by the way they walk. And so it is with Christ. And what Jesus is talking about today at the heart of the gospel, and he's making several points. And the first point that he's making, our faith gate, we are called to walk with the right company. In our faith walk, our faith gate, we're called to walk with the right company, and that right company is Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw a t-shirt at a Christian happening several months ago, and the t-shirt said, "Exercise your faith, walk with Jesus." I love that, don't you? Exercise your faith and walk with Jesus. You need to acknowledge, Douglas Bailey in an article said, in the New Testament alone, the word follow is used 87 times. While Jesus uses the words believe in me 3 times. Do you see the point? Jesus, 87 times to 3, says that following him is more important and substantial in your walk than it is to believe. Because there are times when our belief is challenged. There are times when our spirit feels low. And what Jesus says, it's the following process that draws us close to him much more than the believing process. It's showing up for prayer even when you don't feel like it. It's acting in faith even though you're feeling challenged. It's the following process. It's the following of Jesus and walking beside and with him that miracles begin to happen, even at times when we're not feeling like it. Amen? St. Jerome, I was looking at an article. St. Jerome was fond of saying the following, "Salvator ambulando." Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful sounding? "Salvator ambulando." What it means is to solve a problem, walk around. So what St. Jerome did is when he was in the midst of a real spiritual challenge or difficult challenge, he walked. And in that walking, breathing and opening up to creation around him in the presence of Christ, and in that walking would find a solution to the challenge. Now, that's a much better way to go about it than sitting on the couch and eating bonbons, right? And being depressed. It's walking around. It's an active movement. It's doing something in the midst of it. And the writer of this article, The Walking Cure, his name is Gregory McNamee. He said, "My problems may not have been as deep as St. Jerome's." He said St. Jerome was one of the early parents of the church that was trying to share this new and rising faith in the entire world. Well, Gregory said, a lot of times my problems are not that deep, but generally speaking, those things that keep you awake in the middle of the night, or the problem of the day, the challenges that you have to your faith or relationships and your day-to-day life, he said more than one time in following St. Jerome's advice, "I have found a solution to the challenge." And he said one other thing, "When I do that salvator ambulando, I imagine the Spirit of the living Christ walking beside me." And that becomes more than half the solution. Amen? Secondly today, Jesus is teaching us on our faith walk. Our faith walk is a journey. Walk with the right shoes, right? Our faith walk is a journey. Walk with the right shoes. And the right shoes in this case is the left foot is reasoned inquiry and the right foot, faithful action. Reasoned inquiry, faithful action. Reasoned inquiry, faithful action. Reasoned inquiry, what does that mean for us? Alan Kimber, who just a few years ago was pastor at the Methodist Church just up the road at Lodi, and he wrote in an illustration I loved. He was talking about a time when he had last visited London, and he noticed that at street corners there were signs posted that said, "Look right." The signs, he said, are posted for Americans because as Americans, you know, we drive on the right side of the road. So as we start to cross a street, we normally, which way do we look? We look to the left. And then we start stepping, and it's only then that we start looking to the right. He said, you do that in London, and there's a good chance a double-decker bus will run you right over, right? Because it's going in opposite direction. But also what he said, look right, he said, it's good advice for life. He wrote, as a people called United Methodist, you do not have a litmus test for dogma or doctrine. You are not asked to check your brain in the narthex while being told what to believe. You are called to faithfully and prayerfully search the scriptures. Then using the Christian tradition, your experience, and reason within the community of faith, you are called to hear what the Word of God is saying to us today. Look right, he says. Be conscious. Wake up. Stop and take a different look at the world around you. Faithful action always follows faithful questions. Ask the questions. Then the right shoe of our walk is, in fact, faithful action. After reasoned inquiry, we do something about it. And we do not create faithful works to somehow earn grace, earn wholeness, earn salvation. It's not works righteousness. In fact, faithful action flows from our relationship with God. It's not a way to access it. It flows from our relationship with God. You just can't help it. It naturally flows through you to serve others when your heart is yoked to Christ. There is an illustration of a man who died. And he woke up in this incredibly beautiful place. And it was like a palace. And the landscaping was sculptured. And the atmosphere was always pleasant and comfortable and beautiful. And as he arrived, this attendant dressed in white, kind of angelic, let him know that anything he wished was his for the asking. And so he had all the delicacies available to him to eat that on earth he had only dreamed of. And also he saw so many beautiful things and experiences again, that he'd only dreamed of. But after several weeks of that, he got bored. And so after several weeks, he said to the attendant, he goes, you know, this is all good, but I'm getting bored. He goes, what meaningful work, meaningful action can I do? And with that, the attendant said, well, sadly, work, faithful action is the one thing that you cannot have while you're here. And the man looked and he says, well, I might as well be in hell. And the attendant said, where do you think you are? We do not do faithful action to gain access with God. Faithful action follows from our relationship with God. Service to others is a natural reaction to a life that's yoked with Christ. It's where we find meaning and purpose. It's in serving, not in being served. And last of all today, thirdly, our faith walk is recognizable. We walk knowing that we are recognized. I read an article about Robert Baden-Powell. He was founder of the Boy Scouts. He was actually a military officer for Great Britain, had served prestigiously as a leader. I think he stopped active service at the rank of lieutenant general. He was in middle age as he did his kind of retirement. And he waited until then to marry. And the story of how he met his wife was that he was on board a ship and doing a crossing. And there he saw this woman walk by, and then he stopped her as she stopped at the rail. And he says, by chance, were you walking? I want to get this quote exactly. He goes, did you 2 years ago walk down Knightsbridge with a brown spaniel? And she answered in the affirmative, but was kind of wondered at the question. And he said, 2 years before, I noticed you walking. I'd marked your gait, and it showed, I thought, honesty of purpose, common sense, and a spirit of adventure. Isn't that wonderful? Within a year, they were married. This is a true story. The man observed her gait 2 years before, an unknown person, and 2 years later recognized her on board a ship, and within a year he proposed and they were married. Because he acknowledged and recognized her spirit through her walk. Everybody knows, each of us here have a distinctive way of walking also. But most of all, we acknowledge that our faith walk is just as recognizable. Up close, at a distance, or even when our backs are turned away, it's seen and known over time. How we behave, how we act, what we do, speaks volumes about who we are to those around us, and specifically identifies the quality, reality, and depth of our faith in God. It is known. It is seen. So I conclude today by saying, our faith walk always shows through. We are called to walk this way, our faith walk, by Christ, who shared with us he's the way. That is the way of love and vulnerability and sacrifice. He shared with us the truth that those who live by the ideology of scarcity and tribalism and scapegoating will cause nothing but tears and pain and blood to the human people. And he calls us that those who live in this way of love, vulnerability, and sacrifice, who look past the tribalism and know that we are all in this together and serve one another, that we have a full and rich life. I want one to say, outside these walls observing us, to say, there walks a faithful church. There walks a faithful person. And there walks one who walks with God. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon you always.
For listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day. And may God bless you.